Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and wow, what a week it's been. It has been a, you know, it's so funny. Every single week that comes up, you know, as we do the radio show, seems like more and more dramatic internal experiences are happening for me. Right now we are in the East Coast. If I'm correct, I don't know how far this goes, but there is a heat wave going on. And, you know, I was thinking about that today, you know, a few months ago when it was winter and we were like surrounded in this, like, it felt like we were in a crystal maze. For like 7 weeks, we kept having like two or three snowstorms every week. So what was happening is the snow started piling up. And so it was like all dug out for places to walk and drive. But surrounding you, you had these like 7, 8, 9 foot walls of ice and snow, and it was like incredibly beautiful, but very similar to the intense heat. It makes you lethargic. It's like, I can't believe how I don't personally have any problem lying around and resting and you know, just being, not quote unquote fulfilling the goal and doing the mission. I don't have any problem doing that because my body requires that I do that, because the places that I go when I come back into this, you know, dimension, however this works, my ass is kicked. But what's interesting is I'm noticing the heat has very much the same energy for me in the lethargic. I feel lethargic in the heat, and I know I'm not alone. The heat is draining. It's important to stay hydrated. It's important to take it easy. But, you know, it's funny because as I'm saying this, I'm getting a hit going, but I think the heat tends to make, when people are still, they get more angry easier. Like, snow and ice tend to make for a more subtle lethargy, and heat tends to make for a more aggravated lethargy. So it's, I don't know, I'm babbling. But let me bring my guest on, because... I just love him, and I miss him, and I can't wait to talk to him. So tonight we have the esteemed Alan Pratt. Yay!
Wow.
Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you very
so
much. That's a beautiful welcome. I feel good. And I'm here on the West Coast, and I got to say, I'm not in a heat wave. I'm in beautiful Lake Selmac, Oregon, at the Mystic Garden Gathering. And it's absolutely flawless here. So I sympathize, because I lived in New York City for 24 years, mostly in Brooklyn, much of the time without air conditioning. And
exactly.
So you understand.
You know.
I'm
you
with
do
you.
Understand.
I am looking at the extremes of weather and wondering, how did it get this way and why it has this effect on us? And
yeah, well, what do you get? What do you get from that? Indeed, because I think weather is a reflection of consciousness.
It is. The weather patterns are a reflection of consciousness. And not only that, there is a historical, in the linear time perspective, there is a historical cause for this extreme. I believe the Earth was knocked off its axis by our warring, by our hate, literally by our darker emotions. And I believe that the extremes of weather are somewhat a result of that. And, you know, then it comes down to, oh, well, if we can all love each other, guess what? Then the Garden of Eden would be sort of perfect weather all the time. Not that we don't want change, and we you know, there's beauty in all of it. But again, the it the Earth is changing, and the extremes are too. It seems to be too much, and it's having an effect on us. And so it's nudging us to go, well, what do we need to shift internally, as you say? What do we need to shift internally and with each other, the way we give and receive love and resolve our conflicts and come to terms with our darkness in order to find balance again on the physical plane, on this planet.
Absolutely.
I'm really examining all of this also with things like flies, mosquitoes. Did we talk about this last time? Flies, mosquitoes,
no,
roaches,
go.
And ants.
Okay, no, but
I think they are technology.
Yeah.
I believe they're technology from Orion, and that is not a part of the original design of this terrain, and that it's all part of the war of light and dark. It's to keep us from being comfortable in nature.
And
to keep us from doing things like being meditative and being in the flow. Those are like, and if you look at them, they look like bits of technology. They don't seem like, do you know what I mean?
They say that the cockroach could actually, it would last
the nuclear blast, exactly.
Right.
So all of
that,
I think all of that stuff comes from the whole technology side, the reptilian part of our reality, the Orion, you know, and all of that. And it's not part of the original garden. I'm going to just launch right into it. Adam from the garden spoke through me when I was in Costa Rica, when I was just beginning to channeling voices in English. Adam spoke through me, and he said, there's one thing I want you to remember as you go through this process. This was once a garden. And it sounded very, and then he dropped right out. That's all he had to say.
But that's very deep what he just said.
It is, and I pondered that in the year and a half since he came through me, and it is profound because as you begin to sort of step aside and look at this and say, well, maybe this isn't how it was once. Maybe everything didn't always go into a deep freeze. Maybe these cycles aren't the original pattern. Maybe the presence of certain...
Alan, you're right on the money. Yes.
Yeah.
You are right. Because, go ahead. Go. Speak.
No. I think that's it.
I definitely want to banter because, one of the things that I'm starting to learn about is, the actual wisdom to know that what we consider Darwin's natural selection, at least in the last 5,500 years, nothing has been a natural selection. I mean, it's like the more I am starting to learn the truth behind, the curtain of, like the Wizard of Oz, so to speak, learning.
Good analogy.
Yes, because it's available to everybody just because it's about understanding the energy, not the physical reality, but the energy that's creating the physical reality. And Alan, you're right on the money that nothing has been done by natural selection. Because like one of the things I'm starting to get right now is what we are actually going through right now in this galactic alignment in this where our Merkabahs and our auric fields, the parts of us that are non-physical, are coming into greater
our
importance. Exactly, because what we're becoming into is we are going back into a world where it will be life-enhancing. We have not lived, for at least for the last 5,500 years, in a life-enhancing planet. We have lived in a planet that that embodies money as its god, not life. And all you have to do is look around to see, well, that makes total sense because we are literally annihilating ourselves. I mean, we're killing the planet, we're killing ourselves. Nothing about it promotes life. Go ahead.
Right, and I'm just going to distinguish. You're talking about the civilization living on the planet because the planet, of course, is covered with life-enhancing nature, and it's our civilization that has gone mad with manufacturing and industry and stuff and material and doing instead of just being in nature.
Yes.
So So yeah. We're in such discord. I mean, that is such proof that we are not originally from here, although I do believe we had a lot to do with the design of this.
Yes.
The pieces of the puzzle are dropping in tiny bits by bits, of sort of how we got here and the deal that was made. And just in the months since you and I last spoke on this program, I have come to greater awareness of this idea that we were traded into slavery here to mine gold. How familiar are you with that concept?
Well, I'm familiar with us becoming slaves.
You know, work or?
I'm not familiar with the details necessarily of the time periods as much as I'm familiar. What I've been learning is just to know that if we're not utilizing our energy fields, someone else, another set of beings are.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I do believe that at one point it might have been for the gold. At this point, they are directly siphoning the kundalini energy that is what's going
right.
on. It's what's natural.
Right.
The commerce is us. We are now the human being's DNA is what has it's the commodity of the day. Because from what I'm gathering is DNA is essentially it's communication, it's information, it's intelligence. And so
yes.
the beings that are tapping into us don't have the human DNA because, see, we can't see them. They're not playing it from a third-dimensional game. They're utilizing our blueprints, our energetic fields, so that they can to serve their agenda. So I don't know the details, but I'm sure at some point I know gold played a part in it. I'm not sure of the, I'm not specific on that as much as
I only say that I am getting that it was part of some kind of payoff, either some debt that needed to be paid. It was kind of like trading the first seven generations of our family into some kind of serfdom or slavery, and I also think, it wasn't like we were all good guys who were completely
right.
duped. I think it was some kind, there's more
right.
details to this that I'm not getting, but it has something to do with how we got here. And so then we don't treat this planet right. So
right, right.
We seem to be out of sorts in a way that none of the other species on the planet are. Like all the other species on the planet seem to coexist fairly peaceably. We're the ones making a mountain of plastic floating around in the ocean the size of Texas.
Well, right.
We're the one changing the
agreed.
Weather pattern and knocking the planet off its axis. So I'm not sure exactly
okay.
what I'm getting to now, except that I do believe that you and I talked about this and said we are coming to a climax point. We are coming
yeah.
to the close of a grand epic opera, and they are all watching.
Well, as to be honest, you can't be shy at this point because you're right. They are all watching. But I want to say one thing in collaboration to what you just said because I believe it's important to say. We are the species that is absolutely wreaking havoc on this planet, but I want to say that this is not the inherent human DNA blueprint. It's a species that have manipulated us.
Right.
When people are like, human beings are inherently dark, that is incorrect. Human beings are inherently love.
Right,
love.
Right, right. So this has been, I'm going with the Bringers of the Dawn series.
Okay.
Which say this has been a long, protracted war. We cannot see the forest for the trees. It is so insidious. I was going to say
yes.
subtle. It's not really subtle. It's insidious.
Not anymore.
And the way
not
it
anymore.
Shows up, it isn't if we are enlightened. If we are aware, then it is not insidious. It is bold and glaring. And what it looks
yes.
like is we don't
yes.
put the proper fuel in our bodies. We don't live. We live in very toxic environments. We are sexually suppressed.
Yeah.
We are not.
Yeah.
Our vibrations have become so dense that because of those things that we no longer have access to our individual own higher dimensions. You know, we say our spirit
yes.
guide, but to begin with, that should always be my own higher self.
Absolutely.
So if we do, and what we would translate that as is our instincts. We have lost our instincts. And
well,
we
our human
instincts.
Our human instincts.
Our human instincts down here on the
because
earth plane. So we end up in all of this.
Because we still have our reptilian instincts, if you notice, because that's what the whole polarity game of war is, a reptilian instinct. See, what
yeah.
essentially we have become that which has manipulated us. And I think what's important
right.
is real
close.
Things.
It's about, I'm actually getting that it's 51-49 still.
Oh,
we still stand a chance of pulling it up. I've asked this over
absolutely.
And over, and they say literally.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course
yeah.
we said it. Even if the odds were different. But when I ask, they still say it's like neck and neck. It's like a... Yeah, so...
interesting,
but yeah,
yes.
We
well,
have become
exactly.
the thing that we fear, and
yes.
the way to get out of that is through cleansing and purification, through meditation,
awareness.
Through yoga,
yes.
through awareness, through listening for your spirit guide to speak to you again, to come back, because they're right
yes.
there waiting, and to be able to
yes.
distinguish which are your light guides and which are the dark ones trying to come in. And so I say the most... the easiest thing that any individual can do to tap into all of this is to clean their physical body out, because this is where we are in the physical. We're on the earth plane. You got to clean your physical body out to really tap into true guidance. Clean
well,
the body out.
Okay. Okay. Now, I just want to establish
ahead.
That. I'm still one. So I eat meat. I eat chocolate. You know, I still do quote unquote. I guess what I would call
I
know. You know what the dirty
Terrible,
things.
You're going to hell. Oh, you're already here.
Well, huh?
I said,
are
oh,
you
you're
talking
already
to your
here.
Well, this is what, because I just want to share that, I and it's not that I'm not saying don't be clean, absolutely, but see, there's
yes.
not, I don't want people to go into the guilt if they're not, because this is what I'm understanding. When I'm connected to my higher self, to just me, I know it's me because it always speaks in my best interest. I mean, and my best interest is not always more money, more stuff, being nice. These are not human. It's so funny. When we're connected to our soul, you can't believe how many times my soul has said, jump in the fire, Goldie. I mean, my soul wants me to do things that what humans would really look at as irrational, you know, crazy, negative. I can't tell you how many times it appears what my soul tells me to do is a negative. So what I want everybody to understand, just from the words we're using, is this is an inside job. I cannot emphasize enough, and I know Alan feels the same way, because I've experienced this with Alan. You go within yourself. You do what feels good to you. And my job and Alan's job at this point on the air, our job is to make you aware that there's something to meet within, which there absolutely is. It's our higher self. It's our soul. It's not, how can I put this? Because, see, what I'm starting to learn from my own experience is, A, I know that all will be well in my personal reality. Now, can I speak for the entire planet? Absolutely not. Is my goal to help as many people and share with as many people the truth that I know to be real in my own soul? Absolutely. But, you know, it's so, I get tongue-tied because I get that. I want to be in service to others. I do. But the truth is, I'm in service to others when I'm leading myself on a journey that I believe most of us don't think exists. You know, when I say most of us, I'm not talking about light workers. I'm talking about your basic 3D people. You know, I've been ridiculed for the things I've done. I've been laughed at. I've been ostracized. You know, and it really just comes down to it that
me too.
We got to be responsible. It is time for the maturity, spiritual maturity, that everybody basically starts commanding their own space. And are you going to run into dark entities? Absolutely, but you're going to run into people screaming at you in grocery stores. What? That's a dark entity. It's like, let's not be afraid of quote-unquote light or dark,
right.
Or am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? Let's share that, hey, Alan, you're doing it. Now, you're doing it through the purity of food and what you put in. And bravo, because you wear that well. I'm doing it in a stillness and going into the woods. And you know what I mean? Everybody can have their own way of doing it. Because
I want to stop you here. Because you've gone on, and I love it, and I've listened to you, and I'm going to go right back to my primary point. I'm going to say that wherever you are on your path, and your path is very powerful, my friend, you have
all
sorts of abilities that I do not have, that have not been accessed through diet. Now, wherever you are on your path, you are going to be, you will be stronger, clearer, lighter if you honor the planet, honor the animals, and honor the body you were given with proper fuel and proper cleansing. Everyone will benefit from this. I am going to stand by this. Been in this conversation since I became
you're
a
right
raw
on.
Foodist, I don't know,
right
12 or 13
no,
years ago.
No, you're right on,
and
baby.
I will tell you.
Sing
right,
it.
So listen, just a couple of basics. Those dark spirits, they travel on that animal flesh. All of these species represent their colonies from other places. They have societies of their own. They are not in our dominion. It is not within our right, or we would not have to imprison them in order to eat them. It has been proven in every way that it is not ultimately the best diet. And I will say from personal experience and that of many, many people that I know, that I have accessed this connection with spirit by dropping out the animal products, except for honey. I got to tell you, they want me to... They say they want people to be getting that bee, that shaman, that magic shaman thing from the bees. Other than that, though, cut out the animal products and go green, green, green. Get alkaline, hydrated, full of live enzymes. It's very important, especially for the time that's coming. What I'm getting, and I've gotten this through revelations from the Pleiadians speaking directly through me, is that the way we were designed was to eat the plant food. Basically, we designed this, I understand that Galactic Federation, Pleiadians plus whatever it was, designed this domain, and the proper fuel for it is live plant food. Now, I, on my path, and I would say this is probably going to be true for most people, my path is that I couldn't do 100% raw plant food all the way through my path. There have been times in my path in the last year where spirit has said, eat the fish, kid. Eat the fish. There's been a time where spirit said, go have an omelet. You need an omelet. There's been times where they've said, have the popcorn. You need it. You need a little junk food. You need a little comfort food. You need something that's not, the A1 pure superhuman, raw food, spirulina, warrior diet. Sometimes they go, you need to go sit in a movie, and eat some popcorn, but they don't push it too far. And now that, my point is, my teachings, what I've been getting directly is that it's easier for them to transform and ascend our physical bodies if we are more alkaline and mineralized. I mean, it's literally a practical, a biological issue for them to work in our bodies. They want our skeletons aligned, which means yoga. They don't literally say do yoga, but they say we can move through your spinal column, through all those columns, not just the physical spine, but through that light column, if your skeleton is aligned. They can move through in all those other etheric bodies if the skeleton is aligned, so do your yoga. they can move through the body and open up our channels, those DNA strands you were talking about. They can open up all those blocked DNA strands if the physical body is more mineralized and alkaline and more hydrated,
okay.
All of those things. And so literally that comes back to, eat the diet that they designed for us, whatever, a billion years ago. You know, eat plant food. But what's also true is that this is a murky, dense atmosphere, and the most ideal diet is never going to work all the time for anyone. There's going to be,
like I said
a moment ago, where you're going to have to deviate based on, I don't know, it's emotional stuff, or you need grounding, or literally, I think when they had me eating the fish, it was, you need this animal strength. You need something in you right now.
Yes!
I don't fully understand it. But,
yeah,
but
I've been told
that
when you eat the animals, you do get the ground. In other words, sometimes the plants are such a high frequency, there is a grounding to the cow, to the deer, through the buffalo.
And I would say,
indeed,
that given how it's gone with most of us, that what most of us need to do is get greener, get greener, get greener. Drink a lot of green juice, and especially and distinct from diet, people need to do cleansing. Oh, my gosh, if people want to get close to nature and to whatever we call spirit, God, whatever, then empty the body.
Well, another thing about detoxing is all diseases start from the toxicity of the body. So, Bashar has said this as well, that literally... That's on the physical level, correct. That if by cleansing the body...
And we got demons, and we all got demons in us, too. We literally got dark, you know, we got entities.
We have parasites,
so
parasites and implants.
And they
absolutely.
And they live in that toxic, they revel in that toxic environment. So thank you, that's the point. If you clean, you clean that, your container out, and it is difficult for the dark spirits to reside there. It's like they say, you don't find flies in a clean garbage can.
Right.
You know, flies got to go somewhere else. And I've been through years and years of just hundreds of days of fasting. My longest was 33 days. I know people have gone way, way longer. I've done, you know, 50 or more five-day fasts, and I've just, it's been proven to me over and over that when you empty out the body and cleanse it and get it more balanced between alkaline and acid, that you just have such spiritual insight. You receive guidance so much more easily. You the experience of walking among the trees is different. You connect in a different way to nature when you get light and empty. That's all. You're just
and I totally agree. Absolutely. I have my audience in my heart because I've been doing this a while, and I know that my audience is going, well, I'm not, you know, I haven't done detoxing. So I want people to know, first of all, this is one avenue, and it's an avenue you can't guilt yourself if you're not doing this. That's not the point of what Alan is sharing or what I'm sharing on the radio show, because it has to start from where it starts. I mean, that's just as simple as that. It has. I don't.
How about just the hunger? I don't care about anybody's guilt. You know what? Sometimes just hear.
Well,
I do
because these are my audience.
I don't care. I've been through loads of guilt. But what I think is more important is just a hunger or a passion for that inner peace and that inner knowing, like
that,
know thyself.
That's where it's got to start. See, exactly.
Thing. I think, well, that's a great avenue for the know thyself thing. Then, you know, cleansing of the physical body is awesome. A Vipassana meditation retreat is an awesome way to, you know, is a different kind of cleansing.
Yes, well,
there are
because clearing,
different
exactly.
kinds of cleansing.
Yes,
there's some
yes.
people that go to plant medicine
turn
routine.
Turn the TV off.
What?
Go ahead. Sorry, you fire me up, Alan.
Ayahuasca, you know, there's another kind of cleansing. You know, for people who want to explore plant medicine. Did we talk about that last time, ayahuasca and plant medicine?
No, but we can if you'd like to. I mean, I have done two ceremonies, so, yeah.
Another way, talk about cleansing the body. I'm sure you must have experienced either out of one end or both. You know, you purge. That's cleansing. That is cleansing. And then, and you see, there it is crystallized into a single ceremony. You take the medicine, you wait, then you puke, or you run to the toilet, or you do both at the same time, and that's a pretty scene. You know, and what's happening is the grandmother, the plant, is emptying you out, because guess what's coming? Information, the presence of spirit, you know, wisdom, magic, knowledge, cosmic dust, something is coming. So, but they want to empty you out. Get that crap out, because we have been so tricked, and this goes back to the earlier part of our conversation, we have been tricked into thinking that we need to put a lot of stuff into us that we really just don't need. We need to have a lot of stuff, and we need to consume a lot of stuff that, you know, is just totally blocks our ability, or certainly impedes our ability to receive the wisdom of spirit. I walk down the grocery store aisle, and of course all that stuff then it turns around into pollution, all of that packaged stuff that we eat and drink, especially all these bottled drinks and stuff. My gosh, I don't touch any of it. I don't drink coffee, I don't drink sodas, I don't drink any of those power drinks or stuff. You know, all of that then turns into waste, you know, that just sort of then separates us more from nature. And if I haven't said hug a tree while we've been on the air, I'll say it right now. I am sitting, I'm just going to switch tracks here for a moment. I want to report from where I am.
Okay.
I am at the Mystic Garden Gathering in Lake Selmac, Oregon. And if you're tuning in now, and if you've got your computer on, you can Google, I think it's mysticgardengathering.com, but you can Google Mystic Garden Gathering. This is the fifth annual one, and what beautiful tribes of people are here. This is only the second of 6 days, and I believe there will be a few thousand people here. And this is what they call a gathering of the tribes. And it's on this beautiful lake and around lots and lots of trees. And there is such a beautiful spirit and energy around this event. It is sort of bits of Burning Man, bits of the raw food community, the didgeridoo players, the rainbow tribe, it's bits and pieces of all of that, and it is just beautiful. So that's where I am, and that's the energy that I'm bringing to this conversation. I'm looking at I don't know what kind of pines or firs they are, but they're beautiful. And I drove through the redwoods to get here, and I've been tuning into the redwoods.
Did you stop
so
at the? Oh, that's a bucket list for me. I so want to be with them.
Oh, I get downloads from the redwoods. Listen, if you don't, it took me till the age of 50 before I started hugging and touching the trees. I'm sure I climbed in trees when I was a kid, but then what I did was hike a lot and appreciate the beauty of being in nature, but I didn't physically connect my body to the trees. I think that probably I don't see many people doing it, so I'm guessing that not many people are really doing that. I don't see it out in the park much. I see lots of people. I don't see them literally wrapping their bodies around the trees. If you do it, it will wash. There's a detox right there. For the folks that aren't ready for the raw food diet, go hug a tree.
There you go. Talk about that.
There you go for your listeners. Okay. Go hug a tree. Take your shoes off. Put your bare feet on the ground next to the root system of the trees, and you will feel after. It may take a minute or two. Breathe and relax. Get your whole chakras, your torso, your heart pushed up against the tree, and you'll feel it washing through you, the vibrations of the tree washing through you and washing a lot of that stuff that you don't need anymore into the ground. And also you'll receive vibrations from the trees. They have so much to give us. So
tremendous healing. Tremendous cleansing, tremendous healing. Because just so everybody knows, that is the cleansing. See, now that's the kind of cleansing I do. I mean, I have never fasted other than Yom Kippur when I was a kid, which is partly where my resistance to fasting is. I also really enjoy food, but I know that there's a resistance there because it was the whole religion thing. But also, because what I want people to know is, I consider myself pretty deep down the rabbit hole, and yet I'm still a poster child for all the things you're not supposed to do.
I'm going to assert a reason. You're going to go to yet another level.
Yes.
Of of seeing that is very uncomfortable.
Yes. What do you mean uncomfortable? Why?
The unbearable lightness of being. Because the cleaner you get, the more darkness you see. And the more light, but it's the darkness.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's also the darkness within. And I think I talked about this last time. I've been seeing a lot of my incarnations in recent years. They said on the raw food or the green path, the first 5 years you sort of clean out your physical body. The second 5 years you clean out your mental, emotional body. The third 5 years, that's when you deal with the spiritual stuff. I didn't really know what that meant, deal with the spiritual stuff. I'm in that third 5 years now, and I certainly haven't maintained being a raw foodist throughout all of this by any means. It's been a real roller coaster ride. I've done everything. I've been an alcoholic during all of this and gone in and out of sobriety in addition to other things. I've ended up in McDonald's, drunk and stoned, believe me. My path has been up and down, but I've ended up sort of by natural selection, being very vegan, mostly green and all of that. But in this third 5 years, because I started being a raw foodist when I was 39, I'm now almost 52, I'm in my third 5 years, and this is when the spiritual poop hits the fan.
Okay.
And I have gotten to see myself
clearly. Can you share
some
of the experiences? Thank
yes.
you. Because I just want to say before you share, Alan, I believe that's exactly why I have not cleaned up my body yet, because truth be told, there's a fear of seeing it. But what I want people to know is you can still be working on it without doing the actual seeing and experience. You know, in other words, there's other parts of me that I've worked with sound. Sound is very effective. I've worked with intentions. I've worked with fear. But clearly in the level of the third dimension. That is the fears. Because until I'm strong enough to handle the third dimensional fears, I personally didn't feel I was ready to go into the multi-dimensions and start finding demons and warlocks. Because,
right.
you know, Jesus, I had somebody who could kick my ass just by saying a negative word to me in this dimension. If I'm playing in that dimension consciously, I would have been annihilated. And so I think that's part of the reason why maybe some of us have, you know, we desire the ascension, but, you know, you got to master the dimension you're in, so to speak, at least to some degree.
You have to
from a fear point of view.
You have to come to terms with who you are in order to ascend. And I had no idea who I was. I thought of myself as being just a good guy. And I've always thought that I was here to save the people, lead the masses, do something wonderful. But I thought it was just because I was this good guy. And then I began to learn about other incarnations here on the earth plane. I'm going to start with all of that.
Okay.
Because the first one I found out, I found out that my feet were crushed and my right foot was cut off in the Spanish Inquisition.
Okay.
And so I was a martyr there, I assumed. And then I found out that I was the Apostle Paul that followed Yeshua.
Oh. Okay.
And that was rather overwhelming. And I did not know. I've never read the Bible. I know bits and pieces. I've been, you know, you get exposed to many parts of it. I've not been attached to religion, but then I found this out, and so I don't know much about this being, but my assumption when this piece of knowledge came to me was that this was somebody who was a good spiritual leader, helped establish the Christian religion. Then I found out that I was a Nazi in World War II.
Okay.
That was the third one that I found out about. And that was in a Vipassana meditation. The first time that I did a 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat, and for the listeners, if you're not familiar with Vipassana, it is V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A, Vipassana. And if you want to look on a website, these are fantastic 10-day or longer silent meditations. It's D-H-A-M-M-A, Dhamma.org, D-H-A-M-M-A, Dhamma.org. And
right
again,
on.
I said that's a way of cleansing. And for people who don't have a strong meditation practice or who are challenged, which I so was, I was always a human doing, not a human being. So the idea of sitting still and quiet was very challenging. This gave me a meditation practice that I can fall into anytime, you know,
nice.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yes.
So
no, exactly.
The first time
I honor
that I did
that.
A 10-day Vipassana meditation retreat, which was almost 10 years ago, they said deep old negative sankara or pain will come to the surface to be released. And then, you know, new things will come in, insight,
okay.
wisdom, light, whatever. And I said, okay. And about the seventh day in, well, actually 3 to 4 days in was when I started having convulsions and feeling that I had just killed so many people. It was the remorse and the pain over having just committed such atrocities. And
wow.
then on the seventh day, I was sitting in meditation, and I was very clearly, suddenly in a hall of hundreds or maybe 1,000 men in uniform, and I did not know where I was. We were laughing and jesting. Our attention was drawn to a stage. We turned. I saw a flag on either side of the stage on a pole. I saw the swastika as my eyes went to the middle, and I saw Hitler. That's when
uh-huh.
I realized that I had been a Nazi. And then
wow.
and then that was confirmed by psychics and mediums. And over the years, it began to evolve. The information began to increase. And this is something that I'm realizing, is that on the spiritual path, they give you about as much as you can handle at the moment.
Right.
And
right.
then on down the line, they're going to let you know a little bit more about who you are and what you've done. So
right.
over the years, it became clearer. At first, you know, psychics would say, oh, I think you were a round-em-up guy. And I'd say, oh, but I think I killed a lot of people. And they'd say, well, I think you were a higher-up, maybe. And then just a year ago, I was in a course with Dr. Barbara Stone, who is an extraordinary soul detective. She helps you identify which are the most pressing incarnations to address in your past because you have attached entities from those incarnations. Souls, beings that have not ascended because of whatever, something you, perhaps you killed them and they haven't, they're still attached to you, things like that.
Okay.
I was in this
okay.
course with Dr. Barbara Stone in San Diego, and what came clear for me was that I was much higher up than I had any idea. And a doctor in that course looked at me and said, you need to, you know, press further into this to understand, you know, who you were. And then it was through my own revelations as the Pleiadians began speaking through me. I've had periods where they've spoken through me in English, and I've been able to ascertain. But in this murky atmosphere and in this very very tight war between light and dark, they have actually stopped my ability to channel in English right now. So that's,
okay.
I understand now that this is just how the war goes. But when they were speaking through me in English was when I really got it clear last October. I figured out that I was a person named Dr. Joseph Goebbels, G-O-E-B-B-E-L-S, who was the minister of propaganda, who was Hitler's right hand.
Wow.
This was my last incarnation.
Well, now, and I think it's important to talk about, because you have to find the compassion to understand, you know, who you are, why you are, you know what I mean? Meaning, I mean, because
yep.
that's deep. That's deep.
Yes, it is.
You know, because I have definitely had, through group work with a gentleman named Brian DeFlores, you know, I have seen myself rape, murder, and kill women, children, babies,
right.
men. I have definitely been a warrior. I
yep.
don't have, like, I just know I've been... In the bush, I don't know what war it was. I don't know if it was Vietnam or Korea. I don't know. I just know I've seen that. I've seen wars with where I was a black person. I've seen myself in a lot of wars. And you know, first of all, I honor your sharing that. I think it's extraordinary that you're sharing it, because I'm a firm believer that it is the ones who have owned their darkness in the compassion of a unity consciousness are the ones that are from a frequency point of view holding a frequency of unity consciousness. I mean, it's almost like it's happening to the few, and then the potential for it to happen to the many is going to be here. And all of us have to go through this ascension ourselves. No one can ascend for another. But the more of us that are, through compassion, ascending our physical beings, our spiritual beings, it almost makes it, it's not easier. It's just you're aware of it, so you're not alone. You know, because I think there is a pain. It seems like part of the process of ascending is the burning off of the painful things that we have experienced as human beings. But as we learn that we were manipulated, it's not that it gets us off the hook. It, quote-unquote, simply explains the behavior. Because as we're
exactly.
ascending, you know what I'm saying? As we ascend,
we've been operatives or pawns in a big game,
yes.
like a big chess match.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and as you say, this does not get us off the hook. We are souls, and truth be known, there are a lot of watchers here now, so I'm going to exclude them from what I'm about to say.
Okay.
There are a lot of beings who have come in very quickly right here. It's like having the audience suddenly, it's like having the house suddenly fill up in a theater.
Okay.
Because the show's about to start. So now
right.
that's going on. But the
okay.
original players in this game, this
okay.
whole family of light and dark,
yes.
everyone that's got a soul, every sentient being here, because there are a lot of the watchers, I'm going to step on somebody's tail here.
That's okay,
Steph. A lot of the watchers
don't
really have souls. They don't have souls. They're very curious about the ones with souls.
Yeah.
It's, as you say, that human DNA thing. They're
yeah.
very curious. So there's lots of watchers here. But of the original players in this game, there ain't a one of us that's down here on the earth plane that has not committed murder.
Yes, I agree.
Every one of us. Because guess what? This is a floating prison ship. It's real pretty. This is a plot. All right, and as we know, reality is multifaceted. So no one definition, no one perspective that I'm or you or anybody else is presenting is the bottom line. But these are
right.
useful distinctions. This is a floating prison ship. This is hell. This is purgatory. Or this is a classroom. This is a reformation center. You can call it a gulag, whatever. But
a reformation center. Oh, you're so cute.
It's
good. I totally agree with you.
And I hate
to
take this back. You know, to take this to the extreme, and to
okay.
there, see, we are fascinated with that recent Holocaust. There have been many, many. We are fascinated
many, many.
With that one.
Many,
there
including
many
Atlantean and Lemurian.
Going, yes.
yes,
and you want we know we're just in the end of a cycle, and
yes.
we're matching the Atlantis Lemuria thing now in
yes.
many ways, and
yes.
and so this recent Holocaust they we're fascinated with it partly because it was in civilized what we would like to call civilized society,
right. Well, I mean, because if you think
native.
About it, though, remember Bosnia also had a Holocaust, and there are places in South Africa. I mean, we have been doing it's almost like they just never stop.
Right.
I get that the World War II was what we call a big one, but it's like, I mean, there is ethnic cleansing happening planetarily. At no point in time is there not it happening, because these are the reptilian ways. Now, the key to all of
right.
this, though, is... go ahead.
But we weren't sent here to... I'm getting that...
I agree.
We didn't get along
yeah.
out there.
Right.
So we were kind of like the prison system. We were put here. We call it reform school. You know, we were put here, learn to get along. I feel that our different tribes, we were warring before we got here, and we haven't exactly learned the lesson. Hence, we still have boundaries and locks on all our doors and armies in most
right.
of our nations. So we haven't learned what I believe we were sent here to learn. And we've been here a long, long time, and it looks like it's kind of like the game's going to end anyway. And it doesn't mean end everything's over, the planet explodes. I mean this game, this way of everything
particular.
Existing. Is a,
yes.
It's this
yes.
particular way of doing reality here is about to shift dramatically. And so there's
yes.
got to be a massive, like, sudden wake-up among those that self-select. Because many
well,
will
I
not.
Think that's already started. I think that's already starting. And, I mean, that's
it
shows
has.
Like mine are about that. It's about we are
yes.
awakening because it's
like
time
the one
to awaken.
Right now, yes,
okay.
festivals like this one, I am just the this is so beautiful, this enlightened community that I'm finding there more and more of these tribal gatherings. And this is
yeah.
what the Pleiades were saying. They were saying when I went to spend time with Barbara Marciniak before our last show,
yep.
the Pleiadians said it's time to basically find your tribe. You know,
yeah.
and because get out of the city. Get out of these big, giant, urban, you know, tower
cell block.
Yeah.
What'd you call it?
Yeah, get out of the cell block and get out and pick your tribe and pick an enlightened tribe. You know, and I'm finding so many of them now. And they were saying find your land, find a good source
yeah.
of water, find, you know. And build
yeah.
your own set of ideals. I guess it's build your own utopia again. It's nothing new, but it's not what the vast majority of us are doing. The vast majority of us are not in tribal communities that are really nurturing and empowering and have a spiritual vitality. And I believe that's where we're moving. That's why I'm at a gathering of such tribes right now.
I agree with that.
I'm meeting more and more members of this family of light. And I'm going to speak about this again. We said this last time. We were sitting in a room full of them during our
yeah.
last show. You and I
yeah.
are members of this same family. I'm finding that they tend to be artists and healers, writers, people who want to build community. They're community builders. They're not in big business. They're not in politics. They're not in big corporate,
government.
You know.
Right.
No, they're not in government. We're doing it through art and through this building tribes. And I guess it's a grassroots level of shifting the vibration in our society. And that's so. If you're sitting there listening to this show, first of all, call in, talk to us, and then also
there you go. Yes.
You know. But be thinking, wherever you are, am I in an intentional community? And this is important. If our financial structures collapse, which could well happen, you know, this having everybody live isolated, one, two, or these, what is it, what do you call a nuclear family, you know, in a big house, you know, that's not going to work. And what is going to happen, and the Pleiadians said this through Barbara Marciniak a month ago, they said, y'all are going to find yourselves bundling up closer together than you have in a long time with folks you may not know. It's going to be happening so much more. Let go of your idea of, you know, all of this, my property, my house, my car,
right.
my.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's unsupportable. The planet can't support it. And I don't know any human being that does enough work on a day-to-day basis to support all the stuff that we each think we're supposed to have, especially
right.
technology, which, again, there you go back to the war between the reptilians and the whatever, the life forces, the Pleiadians. You know, all that technology is
the Christos,
here to trick us.
The Christos,
and,
yes.
And, of course, we're using it now. We can't totally do away with it. You're here, so we're going to use it. and we're going to use it to the best of our ability. You know, use technology against the enemy, you know, to spread the good word. But put down your cell phones, turn off your televisions, get them out of your sleeping spaces, you know. So, again, we're going to be dropping a lot of that stuff anyway if a lot of these grids go. You know, we're going to have to
I don't know that we'll be dropping it. I think I agree, but I do believe that, well, I get what you're saying. We are the technology of telepathy and telepathy. But one of the things that I feel that technology, because it's in the manipulative hands, of course it's all geared towards, you know, towards lack of life force, where technology, if it was geared towards life force, would indeed enhance our experiences. I mean, because I think everything inherently, it's like I'll sit in the woods and I'll say, you know, I don't know what life would be like without us being tampered with, because I don't believe any of us have experienced that life, you know, at least not in the last 5,000 years. So first, I agree with what you're saying. We have to get off the grid, because if you want to transcend the grid, you have to – that which the agenda makes important has to become unimportant to us.
Right.
Because that's how we get off the grid. There is no way to – and through awareness, you see that. Because, I mean, I didn't have a cell phone until I was, 42 years old, you know, just a few years ago. And
right.
And I mean, I enjoy it, but I have it because I was like, well, it would be great. First of all, one thing I've noticed, because if my car would break down, do you know there are many cities or towns, they don't have public telephones anymore. I mean, literally,
right.
Pay phones are becoming obsolete because everybody has a cell phone.
They have to knock on somebody's door.
Literally,
and
yes,
say,
exactly
hi.
What I had to do. That's what I had to do.
And this goes right to the point. This goes right
to
the heart of the energy that the dark forces who are manipulating us feed off of. Technology separates us.
Well, it can be by the way it's being used.
It can by the way it's being used. I'm going to say that currently what I observe is people with a screen in between them and other people.
Indeed. No,
you know,
indeed.
Texting,
I can't argue that. Yeah.
We're texting and emailing and
like,
you know,
addicts.
Texting is now
like
replacing
addicts.
Talking. You know, talking on our cell phones replaced being with people. Now texting is replacing talking to them. You don't want to be so bold as to just call somebody now. I'd better text them first. You know, it's kind of weird.
Right.
It's not that we want to get rid of all of this. It's all brilliant, and it all makes life more convenient, except that's part of the trick, because we know that we all can do all of this. We should be able to fly, levitate and fly, and not need cars. We should not need all the stuff that we have to carry in our cars. Maybe a cute little backpack while you levitate and fly to where you're going. You know, we should use telepathy and things like that. We should be touching each other, massaging each other, singing and dancing, making love, and sitting under a tree a lot more than answering emails, browsing on the web. You know, it's funny. We need some amount of knowledge, but there's a glut of it. And the glut of information is all also meant to stress us out. We are fooled into thinking that we need to know everything that's going on. You need to have the ticker tape running at the bottom of the screen that tells you what's happening in the market and all around the world. You know, it's a future shock. You know, there's going back to that Toffler novel from the 70s, Future Shock. You know, it's too much. It was Future Shock in the 70s. So look at now.
Right.
You know, the vibration, it's crazy. What do they call the EMF?
EMF.
The electromagnetic
EMF.
Frequencies. It is off the chart now. You know, so you're driving in a car, you got the cell phone going, you've got some other screen going in front of you. That it's just crazy. You know, it's all off the wall. So balance is what we're looking for. Go out and hug a tree. Don't carry the phone on you. I often leave the house. And this is unheard of for most people. The idea of leaving your home without your phone, without your cell.
Yeah.
I actually do not know most of the apps on my iPhone. That, again, it's ultimately meant to so distract you. It's distraction. It's distraction meant to take you away from nature, and that by nature, I mean both the nature that you walk amongst, like the trees and the animals and the birds, and the, your inner nature, meaning sit still, be quiet, and go within.
Yeah.
We are now, and it has so got the younger generation that the idea of pulling them into the yoga and the meditation, you know, and the silence so that they can really soar and fly through the universe, not just, you know, play Xbox or listen to, and a lot of the music now, so much of it is frequencies intended to drag us down. They're lower frequencies.
Really?
You know?
I guess it depends on what you look.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, like Katy Perry? I love Katy Perry.
I'm an old go-go boy. I'm going to go earlier on in the conversation when I was talking about raw food and, you know, cleansing and purification. You said, oh, there's so many ways to do the path and all that. At that moment, I wanted to clarify and say my path includes that I have been an adult film producer, a stripper, a go-go dancer.
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
And believe me, and the sexual vibration is so very, very important and powerful, and that's another huge part of the trick. The dark forces would rather have us sitting on technology than making love. They would have us
clearly twisted the sexual virus energy is so prevalent that, you know, I don't know of many people. Personally, I don't even know if I know any where they're actually showing up, a male and a female, or even homosexuals, gays, lesbians, whatever, who show up totally conscious in the sexual relationship. I mean, there are so many viruses to it. Look at it. As I say that, did you hear the siren go by?
STD. No, I didn't.
Oh, it was kind of
viruses on a spiritual level, and STDs manifest as STDs on the physical level.
Oh, exactly. That's what meaning. Sex.
Shame and suppression manifest as disease.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes,
right.
Yes. Well, and codependency and vampirism happening through the sexual energies. And I mean, it's just like that
right.
is
so
because
find,
I am a lover, too.
Finding our way to a healthy sexual experience there's the yellow brick road. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Going back to the Wizard of Oz, you got to go through a dark forest, maybe, to get healthy sexually. But, boy, get out there and play. If you're listening to this, you know, get out there and live out your fantasies and try to be as loving and as balanced and as fair and as healthy as you can in doing it. You know, but get out there and play, because we've had that all shut down, and that's a big part of the trick. You know.
Well,
really best for us doesn't really cost a lot. Look at this: making love actually doesn't really cost a lot. You know, it doesn't have to.
Right. Right. Hugging a tree.
Singing and dancing doesn't have to cost much. Yoga
doesn't
and
cost
meditation.
Anything.
Really, you can do yoga under a tree. You can get somebody to show you for free. And meditation doesn't really cost anything. This is all the stuff that so the dark side doesn't want us doing all of that, because we'll realize who we are, we'll lighten up, and we maybe get out of here and go back home.
Well, and stop being their source of energy.
Yes, exactly. So
that's why they don't want it.
So what we've got going instead is this cycle of it's a programming or illusions that we need to have a whole lot of stuff. And in order to have all this stuff, you're going to have to work a lot. And they start you right off by sending you, you better go to school, you got to go to college, and you got to take out that loan, and then you got to walk out of college with this huge debt. Oh, my goodness, what a terrible thing to do to some 20-something-year-old person. You now have this massive debt, so you better go to work.
You have to go to work to pay the debt.
You do. And that whole work world, and then it just inspires, and then you just, you're around all these workers that have all these things, so you got to have all these things to play all those games.
The mortgage.
I know this sounds awfully rudimentary, but it is still – the basic thing that we have not. We're still walking in a dream. We are walking in a dream state, thinking we need all this stuff. We got to work really hard all the time. So if there's a piece of advice I can give people, it would be say, you know, stop needing as much stuff. Then maybe you don't need as much money. So then maybe you don't need to work quite as much. So then maybe you have more time for sitting around in nature or giving and receiving a massage.
Yeah. Well, the way
balance.
I agree. The only thing I would say it from the affirm. In other words, instead of saying what they don't need, and this is early childhood for me. In other words, so the things that don't cost a lot of money, ironically, are the eternal aspects of life, the eternal part, the soul aspects,
yes.
Which is the reason why we're here as human beings, especially at this particular time, the alignments that we are going through with the galactic alignments, are where the universe is, the Milky Way galaxy, what's happening to us from that perspective is all about the eternal part of us. So, you know, because one of the things I was just telling a friend of mine, I go, you know, not having relationships my whole life and being, you know, balls to the walls, totally, you know, anti-authority, from the human perspective, quote unquote, has not served me well. I mean, I'm essentially 46 years old. I have, you know, a couple of $100 in the bank account. I own nothing but a car. The human perspective looks at that and says, I'm a failure. But
we're in the same boat, my friend, and I'm almost 52, and in the same boat. I live back now. I live on the road. I did own a couple of small businesses, but it's all disappeared, and I could easily write the story of failure or freedom.
Well, only from
failure or
so what
freedom.
I want people to know is the failure or freedom, because what is happening is you're pulling out of the matrix, and as you pull out of the matrix,
yes.
You know, there's a whole set of beliefs that go with it from the mind, because one of the parts of the matrix is the mind. The mind is where the control, it's mind control. If we stop working and basing our choices in our mind and put them into our heart, which is what the galactic alignment will set up for us, it's natural. We are naturally turning the DNA on of the wisdom of our hearts. So now what we're doing is, on shows like this and Alan's healing work, this is about just allowing you be aware that this change is going on. It's not even something you have to do. You just simply have to be congruent with it. So when the changes in your body start happening, you know, whether you're fasting or not, I have changes going on with my body. I don't run to the doctor and get, you know, pills for the shooting pains going on in my legs. I know that's Kundalini. And I don't put myself on hormonal stuff thinking I'm going through menopause. I know that's
right,
Kundalini. It's about understanding what's happening.
Get out of that matrix. Drop the pharmaceuticals and the whole, I'm meeting people who are being handed.
Especially in this particular time.
To deal with things that, could be dealt with energetically through spiritual energy.
Well, they are being dealt with energetically. Yes,
well,
we keep talking over each other. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, it's me too. Don't you get excited about this? I'm excited about this.
We're saying this, I want to acknowledge that there are people out there who have a lot of responsibility. They have children, as I'm saying, get out of the matrix and, you know, stop working and let go of needing so much. And yes, this is still the same message for those people who are locked into jobs and have children and have, you know, mortgages or, you know, legal responsibilities. I just want to say it's easier for me to say this. I am single. I don't have children. I am living on the road. It has not been as challenging for me to let go of a lot of things and become a nomad, get out of the grid, get off the grid, as you say. I understand. And then also on the other end, there are people who are struggling so hard just to be able to eat every day and pay the basic bills. So I understand that. I believe our audience has is more affluent and can make these choices that we are addressing right now.
I agree.
Just wanted to acknowledge. I didn't want it to sound like, you know, just wanted to acknowledge that this is not, this is maybe easier said than done, what we're talking about. And, yes,
and it, not maybe. You, it is
yes,
easier said.
And yes, actually, if you are committed to letting go, then you will, and you will be supported by the universe, whether you are
that
walking
absolutely
alone or with a family, regardless
absolutely
of the physical circumstances, that you are any kind of entrapment. It is all an illusion. It is all a game. And if you are committed to stepping out of it, to ascending, to graduating from this game, this dream, to awakening from the dream, then you will. And all
right
the circumstances will be dealt with. I had no idea when my spiritual teachers 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, said, hit the road, live out of your car, follow the path of a healer and a preacher. And I thought, oh, I was scared. Do we say shitless on your...
Sure. Yep. No FCC around here.
Shitless. I was scared shitless here. I didn't know where I was going or what would happen. And every step along the way, they've guided me. Now go here, now go here. And there's been some real bumps in the road. I've had some real dark moments, and I have wept a lot, and there's been danger in my path recently.
Okay.
The more you open up and the stronger a warrior you become, the more you will engage with both sides. And that's been happening a lot.
The thing is, we're engaging with both sides even if we don't open up. That's, you know, I really want to stress that. In other words,
I tell you, it's a different ball game when you're playing
it
numb and dumb.
Agreed. Yeah.
When you play it numb and dumb, what you do is you end up like with a tumor, or you get hit by a car or something and it's just all over.
Or
you
hate your boss.
Or you become an alcoholic or something, you know. There's definitely an experience of light and dark in all of our paths. If you consciously engage on the spiritual path of a warrior and you say, I'm going to look at the light and dark because what I'm committed to is bringing us to the light. It's what I feel. I know it's where we're headed. You know, we're going towards the light. You start going that way, then the stakes are raised. The ball field changes. And the dark side rears its ugly head, but it
gets stronger because the dark's biggest fear is that we will recognize our own strength, our own light, our own godness. We are God. We are the strength. You know, nothing. See, that's why, you know, the things that are happening now.
And the gods are light and dark.
And the gods are light and dark, absolutely. There are some that are for the law of one and some that are for the law of themselves. Service to self and service to others, absolutely. But one of the things I want people to know right now is, you know, there's a period of time between 2000 and 2017, which is clearly where we're in the middle of this right now. There are activations going on, stellar activations, things that are happening because of the placement of the Milky Way galaxy that assists us now more than any other lifetime we've ever had. So where the distractions seem to be the most with the MP3s and the phones and the video screens and the cars and everything, the bugs in the woods, all of that is in a direct proportion to because the potential for us to become soul infused with our own self is so huge. It's incredible that even a person like me who's really, I'm only doing the inner work. From the third dimensional thing, I'm still putting toxicity into my body, and yet I'm still experiencing things. It just tells you that it's almost like it's trumping the distractions, the goodness of life, because the goodness of life is simply life itself. We have been programmed to be anti-life, and we did not know it because we didn't know that there was some being tapping into our auric fields and our spiritual bodies. We didn't know that. And now that we do know that, you know, there's everything can be done from a conscious point of view, but it's almost like it really is the trump card. They know their game is up because, see, it's the dark that's game is up. The light is our game is birthing. We are just beginning to be a genuinely conscious experience where we are going to live where people are kind to each other. Shambhala, that song Shambhala. I love that song.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and it's like, you know, because all of the people that are towards the light, they're like, you know, people are inherently good. I saw it in 9/11. I mean, when 9/11 happened, the blood banks were filled. They were like turning people away. We don't need any more blood. People were opening their homes. You know, things what you were just saying. It's like, you know, I it's just so obvious to me that the people, I believe, are good. It's the governments that start, when we give our power to our governments and our religious leaders, when we give our power away because we don't believe in our own, we don't trust in ourselves to know to make the right choice. It's like, oh my God, of course you can trust in yourself. Your whole being is built for love. It was built from love, out of love, into love. The DNA is compassionate. It, you know, I mean, me and you have a lot in common in our, I'm aware of, shucks, I was a dark person in this lifetime. I mean, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, I did it balls to the wall. And
well,
you
I don't
know,
hear
and
any
I,
dark there. What are you talking about?
Well,
if you change drugs to medicine, if we were talking about ayahuasca mushrooms and marijuana.
No, no, I'm talking about cocaine and speed and,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
You know, I've seen
the
meth.
Sex
I mean,
probably
all of that.
And then the light, and then the rock and roll vibes may not have been of the
right, well, and the only reason why I'm saying that is, right, because people, I can remember when I was there, you know, people are like, listen, the cards you're dealt with are the cards you're dealt with. You know, whoever you are, that's who you have to be. And I was like, I mean, I remember going to therapy going, I am a smart woman making stupid choices. Why am I making, you know, you can question, well, and that's
the
thing that I don't think people even, but people don't even know that they can change the programming. They literally believe, well, who I am is
this
what
is
I believe.
I am.
It's
they think
set
it's
in
who
stone.
You are. They, it's yes, they think that's who I am. It is not
incorrect.
Who they are.
Incorrect.
It is absolutely programming, but it is so ancient, and it is through many incarnations, not just this incarnation. It's the same programming over and over and over, so we've repeated these dark patterns over and over and over, and we think it's who we are. These are long-standing patterns that can be broken, and these patterns of programming, when they build up, then they take on an identity, and this is what we call possession, entity attachment, or literally, this is why I'm performing now, or attempting, I'm working on some exorcisms now, you know, and it's really all programming, and it's like Scarecrow, again, back to the Wizard of Oz. It's like the Scarecrow. You remove enough straw, which is the programming, and the identity collapses. If you take enough pieces of programming and inject it into a being, that identity takes form again and takes over your life and looks like addiction, greed, you know, no integrity, you know, poor diet, you know, isolation, not leaving, you know, sinking into a computer and never leaving it. It's all of those extremes are the manifestations of those attached entities. And this sounds so booga booga. In our day and age, most people do not commonly talk about, oh, I have attached entities or demons in me. It has been a process for me to become comfortable saying these things with clients or with classes or on the air to say, this is what's in us. But this is the nature of the earth plane. And if we go back to the construct that I presented earlier of this being a floating prison ship or of this being hell, then it makes perfect sense. We all got demons in us. It is the old and
ancient. Well, it's just part of it. Right. It's part of the dark is a part of us. That's why you can't point a finger and say, you're dark. We're all dark.
We are all integrated, light and dark.
Absolutely.
And it's, again, you didn't. It was your ticket for admission here, folks, is that you was back somewhere else. You did stuff somewhere else that landed you here. So we're all both. But
right. Right. I agree with that, too.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, right. So the point is.
We're all coming
to the galactic. It's almost like it's not a God that's going to save us, because truth be told, we are going to save ourselves. If you're going to look at a God saving it, then make sure the God is self-God. It's got to be self.
Well,
that's my belief anyways. I don't believe, because I believe we can get assistance.
It depends on how you define. You say it depends on how you define your God. I'm going to go back to what the Pleiadians, speaking through the Bringers of the Dawn series, say, let go of your picture of who your gods are. It's you folks. And
well, that's what I'm
not,
saying.
And yeah, it is. But I want to say that it's not just everybody. There are specific individuals who there are original generations of this family. And I believe we talked about this on our last show. You know, I talked about Melchizedek.
You mean like
Amyan,
Melchizedek? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Metatron, Yeshua, all these oldest members of the family who have these genealogical lines that have manifested as civilizations here.
Okay.
These ancient beings would be the beings that we call our gods. They're just an old family. But there are abilities and responsibilities that these individuals have. They took original actions, making deals with how we got here, perhaps, or how wars were started. So if you look at it from the perspective of karma, these ancient individuals that we may identify with this very charged word, God, these ancient individuals, our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, are reappearing now. We're understanding who we are to clean up the mess.
Well, I think everybody's responsible to help clean up the mess.
We all made it. We all got to clean it up.
Okay.
I agree with that. However, the manner in which certain abilities are now being reintroduced on the earth plane, they're coming through those old folks.
Well, inevitably it's coming through all of us, because this galactic alignment is going to pop all our DNA.
I'm trying to tell you something, Goldie.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you something. There is something called the family of light. There are somewhere, it's not 144,000 anymore, a lot of them aren't here now. There are a body of beings, humans, us, who are walking around, who are being handed powers, abilities, information, vision to give away to everybody else so that everybody else will have it.
Okay, let me say it like this.
Through certain individuals, you could call them leaders.
Yeah, but when you say, because it's only simply because it has to be brought through the human, physical being in order to be optional to be brought through every human physical being.
You're talking about
some
activation.
It has to be activation,
and it's what you experience when I channel.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm one of these beings. So are you.
Okay, but that doesn't make us gods in the sense, and others not.
Notice how uncomfortable this makes you.
Well, because one of the things
people
I didn't like about religion.
And my best psychic said you are going to get a lot of resistance now, Alan. As you try to tell this to people, you're going to meet a lot of resistance. Some of the people I'm meeting a lot of resistance from are the members of this family who do not want to take on this identity or responsibility.
Well, I'll take it on for me, but I won't take it on and then vocally say that I have it and somebody else can't have it. You know, I might have signed up to be in line first.
I didn't say the word can't. I will say, I got this thing. Everybody else don't got it yet. We want everybody to have it who wants to have it. And those who self-select, those who wake up and want this, will get it. It is coming through a body of people.
Okay.
This
okay,
is
but
a
what,
thing that will... Yes?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with every thing you're saying. I'm just saying that there's not a God that's going to save us. That is what my point was. We're going to save ourselves.
I'm saying that... Right, I'm saying that it's both. It's the same thing. It is, yes, the God is going to save us, and it's us. But it's a little bit of both. I want you to hold on to both concepts, because both are going to be necessary. You're going to have to marry them to get the truth that there is a big old family walking around now on the planet that identify as all these beings that we're channeling. You've got all these names, you've heard them, Melchizedek, Amyan, Maria Magdalena, all these saints, Saint Germain, and all these archangels, Michael and Ariel and Uriel, and all these, they're people who are channeling them. And what I'm saying is their presence, it's a big old family with a
okay.
bunch of names.
Okay.
And with all these names throughout history. And I'm going to say that we've played both light and dark. So along my path, I've gotten both, I said it earlier, I was Joseph Goebbels. That's as dark as the last century got. And I'm going to say this.
Yeah, that's
the guy
dark.
Who was Hitler,
that's dark.
Okay, the guy who was Hitler is Melchizedek. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I'm
and I get
up.
That. I get that the light, right, that's why names are, you got to feel
and
light and dark. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And Melchizedek is about to emerge as one of the lightest, one of the beings that we look up to and think we're talking to, quote, the Lord. Well, guess what? Those beings have incarnated all throughout our civilizations to teach us. They've been here all along. We have been here all along.
Okay.
Playing roles of both light and dark. And I mean from the Buddha to Hitler.
Right.
Back and forth,
right.
Same folks.
Right.
Across many civilizations, it's an old family.
Okay.
And you know that Joan Osborne song? What if God was one of us? Just
yes.
A slob like one of us trying
yes.
to find his way home. Well, guess
yes.
what? That's the game. We've all been cast down here into totally vulnerable flesh and blood, nose-picking, farting humans.
Yay! Yes.
Right. Now I'm saying...
I love being a part of that crowd.
Yeah. We're the gods. Now get that, we're these gods we're talking about. We are also that grand and glorious and up in the sky, and we're big dragon monsters who have formed, planetary systems and, maybe designed
yeah.
all
yeah.
of the trees and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And we are also right here on the 3D Earth plane in flesh and blood form and always have been.
I agree.
This is what we, yes, but most, we are not taught that that's what's going on. We're taught that the God or gods are the sort of untouchables somewhere else that aren't necessarily us. Now, you and I already go, we got it, it's us. But I'm saying that also we take form over and over, and it's key now to start identifying who we've been, because
I agree.
My understanding is linear time is a function of this Earth plane. It is real in the rest of the galaxy or the universe, but it's limited on this Earth plane. And so what we're being told now is all of those other civilizations, including all those holocausts that we've created, they didn't just go away. They still exist.
Right. Everything is simultaneous. I agree with that.
Still being languaging.
Still being played out.
Place. It's very difficult to, yes. Yes. So it is key for us to know now who we have been in those other incarnations and civilizations, because this is the time of transmutation. This is the time of the purple flame. This is the time
and unification. And unification. We are bringing those aspects back into ourselves, because that's exactly right. That's what the unifying process is about. There are other parallel realities that are now, everybody is going, has the potential. I shouldn't say is going. We all have the potential to take the next step up into our journey, into our evolution. Now, the one thing I want to say too is that, you know, I'm not trying to be redundant here, but it's a matter of truth. We have never been able, as the human species has never been left alone to naturally ascend. Well, I shouldn't say never. I guess we're on like our third seeding of human beings. There's always been beings that have interrupted our journey to tap into us and to keep us in a descended form, to keep us in a forgotten form. You know, it's like, you know, there are many other species in the galaxy, in the universe, in the cosmos that are like, hey, you know, they're fighting for us basically because they want to just like just leave them alone. Let's see what they'll do. You know, because from a natural space, we would evolve quite beautifully if we were just left alone to our own human beingness. And I know that because I've seen the darkest of dark people, myself, go from being a really dark person to a really caring person. I mean, if I can make this journey, I believe everybody can make this journey, because I know what it's like to be very dark in this incarnation. You know, stealing, lying, cheating, backstabbing, you know, doing all of it. I did all of it. And I now know what it's like to have integrity. I now know the power of presence. I know that I don't need to manipulate anything or anyone simply because the force of life itself gives me gifts greater than I could ever even intend for myself. You know, it's like, I totally get this. I totally get it. Listen, I want to do
words
a healing.
Words of wisdom.
You are
speaking words of wisdom and beautiful. And
aww,
so
thanks.
True. And I like the way you, I like the perspective or the image that you give of us as a species that's just been being toyed with and picked at forever. And like
that's
the rest
what
of
I'm
the
getting.
The galaxy is watching and going, oh, good God, leave these people alone. But there are dark forces that really have a hold here. That's what the Pleiadian teachings say. They say, look, it's been whatever 300,000. Their estimate is 300,000 years since the reptilians
the fall
took
of
over.
Man. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The
well,
fall
no,
of man,
and I've heard. Yeah, they've been here because you know what it is. They keep receding us. So they receded us Lemurian. They receded us Atlantean. They receded us Pro-Magna because they keep trying to give us a space. But that now the. You know, because I always say, why does the light have so much trouble, you know, playing with the dark? When, truth be told, the dark out of everyone is a very small faction. I mean, it's not like the majority of the beings out in the cosmos are dark. It's just the dark ones have been messing with us, so it's making it difficult for us to just be ourselves and create what we would create if left to our own thing. But just because we're the ones being messed with, we think, oh, it's a big, you know, if we start finding out, it's like, oh, the world, you know, the cosmos is big and dark. It's like, no, not really, because then you start talking to people like me and you who are wired
within
for this.
The paradigm of being here, because we're so locked into this dark earth plane that we think the world
and locked
like
in
that.
Is the key word. Exactly. But again, once we learn how to get beyond the manipulation, there really is an entire galactic federation out there of amazing beings that are not humanoid, but are absolutely living by the law of one. And if you're living by the law of one, you would have to be in service to others. It's all about compassion, and it's about the virtues that we just feel wonderful when we experience and we express. That's what most of the cosmos is, but in our own vulnerability, however it happened when we came into Earth, it kind of makes sense because everybody that takes on a human body literally is Christed. The body itself, the physical body, is the Christed energy, which is the ascending energy ray of this cosmos, of this universe. So it's like, you know, all the beings kind of gather together. You know, there are plenty of reptilians that are good reptilians. Not all reptilians are negative, just like not all Pleiadians are positive. Not all Syrians. Every species has, you know, a faction of it that chooses to go against the grain. You know, come on, we all should know about this. I'm sure at one point in our lives we've all gone against the grain. But
absolutely.
As we wake up to this, I think it's important to recognize again the strength we have in ourselves. I mean, because true self-love is not about, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking you're physically beautiful. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not part of it, but true self-love is standing in your truth, going, I know who I am, and just because I don't know what that being is, this reptoid or dragon or even a physical human being with, you know, obstructions going on, just because I don't know who you are doesn't mean you're more powerful than me. Because I know who I am. In knowing who I am, I don't, because it's not about power over, it's simply about self-empowerment. And it's so funny how I say all this stuff, and of course I still have yet, the only interdimensional experiences I've had have been with balls of light and that kind of stuff. I have not yet to see my first reptilian, but I have been kind of intending, okay, I'm ready for the next level, which I guess
okay.
Ultimately will mean I have to start eating more raw in order to see this, so... Yes. Okay. I'm kind of talking in circles myself.
I want to recommend then at this point in the conversation, on my website there is a page that gives a list of practices that I believe further the spiritual path, further the opening up to our psychic and energy and healing abilities. So my website is alanpratt.net. A-L-A-N, P as in Peter, R-A-T-T.net. alanpratt.net, www.alanpratt.net. Click on the healing page and scroll down, and it says something like, are you a Pleiadian warrior? And what it lists are about 20 different practices, everything from working with plant medicine to uropathy, meaning drink your own pee, or to tribal trance dance, to whatever. I don't know if uropathy is on there yet, but it should be. That's actually a very good practice. And I start with the top ones that we spoke of earlier, you know, proper fuel and cleansing, yoga and meditation, working with other incarnations. But there's a long list, you know, that includes all the tree hugging and everything. Go to that and look and see what speaks to you. I haven't completed that yet, but at least the list is there. And I would recommend that people start embracing piece by piece, you know, to keep opening up your channels to receiving these vibrations so that you have your own
direct
contact.
Well, and it's happening anyways. It's happening anyways. I want to note that. That's part of this galactic alignment. We are opening up piece by piece. So at least educate yourself to know that.
I don't want to disempower the conversation that I'm having right now by saying it's happening anyway, because I don't want to. We are lazy people. And, I mean, we're awfully industrious and we're awfully busy, but as far as our own, there's actions to take to have a strong spiritual path. And I don't want to jump back.
We just have a difference of opinion in that, and I honor that.
I wanted to, this is the quickening. The times are, things are going to get tougher on this planet, or they could. We don't want to say that Alan knows what's going to happen. My guides say that it's time to be a strong warrior, and all these practices make us stronger warriors. And I mean just on a physical level, if the climate changes, you got to be a stronger warrior if you want to stick around and finish your game here, because we all came here to play a game. I'm just talking about, you know, it's like having a good football coach, and a good football coach is going to tell you, you know, get your 8 hours of rest and, you know, eat this and do your drills
all
of that. And I'm telling
Alan, because you walk it, because you walk it, I absolutely support. But I can't say that because I don't walk it. I can't say that.
Baby.
I know, but I'm not.
I feel better at 51 than I did at 41, 31, and maybe 21. Most ways. I got a couple of little bits and parts that are kind of half broken here and there. But for the most part, like energetically, freaking amazing. Meet me on the dance floor. You know, like, yeah, I'm wild on the dance floor. I don't sleep as much as anybody I know. I don't work out as long at the gym. My body retains muscle better, you know, and all of that serves the spiritual path that I'm on, which I got to tell you, the stronger a game I play, meaning walk the walk with all the stuff I've been listing about the food and the blah, 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 all that.
Yeah.
The more exciting it is and the more fun it is, the more of an adventure it is. And I think the perception is quite the opposite. I think people think that when you clean up your diet and don't do a lot of, you know, play, you know, party substances and stuff like that, or spend your time meditating instead of sitting on the computer, that things maybe get to, you become some kind of a monk. Or, you know, you may as well go sit in the monastery. You become, quote, spiritual. I guess what I'm doing is I'm questioning. I want people to jog their ideas of what it is to, quote, be spiritual, holistic, to be on a path. Because I got to tell you, my life has gotten freaky and crazy and wild in the last couple of years. The more I have cleaned up my act, instead of sitting and going, oh, which I do that a lot, too. I do my own, I sit quietly. There's been the path has gotten crazy. And I'm not going to go into all that right now, but I'm telling you, it has gotten I feel like James Bond every now and then. I'm not kidding. Life has gotten has not gotten any less exciting by, quote, letting go of a lot of stuff that our society teaches us is exciting, thrilling, satisfying, entertaining, all of that.
Right. Okay, and I honor that. So, I honor that because self-empowerment is always what I'm promoting. Always.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like it's sort of like, I feel like spiritual rock star is what's happening. You know, it's like, I just don't want, you know, I want to attract the people that, you know, I don't know who I want to attract. Everybody.
No, well, you're attracting the people that are ready to experience your healing. I mean, because the reason why I say that is I know certain people who listen to my show. I mean, they email me all the time, and you know, there's just like, you know, got it. You know, sometimes they're like, all right, I'm not doing, because they have brought your name up, and they're like, you know, they're not necessarily resonating with the, you know, the whole raw food kind of yoga thing. And they're like, you know, well, what can I do about that? And it's like, well, you just got to start from where you are, you know, because.
Yes.
This is, for me, what's coming up for me is the 10-day silent retreat. That is coming up for something that I've never done one of those.
By the way, you don't pay for it.
I know,
they're
free.
You can't even give money until you've completed a 10-day retreat. Then you can donate money, and that is a worldwide organization that is thriving on donations, which proves that the product is excellent.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, let's see. What time is it?
We've been talking for a while. Yes. Can you, we have 16 minutes. If you can do 14 of them in channel, or whatever you do, I'll let you know when we get down to 2 minutes, because then we'll have to start closing up.
Yeah, feel free. They won't be offended if you speak up, but let's see. All right, so if you're listening, I mean, then you are, clearly.
Clearly. I love it.
relax, breathe, be willing to receive and to release. These languages are languages that we all know on a deep, deep level that predate the languages of this planet. So, whatever. Relax, breathe.
You're beautiful.
Yeah, they're coming in. Breathe. Yeah.
Yeah. Charmyokuru, 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 Charmyokuru. Back.
Wow.
You still there?
Partially. Well, I have my headphones set up, you know, because I'm at Scott's house doing the show, and wow, you on headphones are like sweet. That was
awesome.
Very nice.
I'm glad it translates over the airwaves.
I do it with people
in front of me, but I do remote healings on people on the other side of the world. So I do it on people I've never met. So it makes sense that this would work too.
Yeah, no, I definitely. It's a journey. Your sounds and your voice and your energy took me on a journey. It was very nice.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we should do that from now on at the beginning of the show and then do the rest of the show from that point.
You're right. Do a guided meditation, something. How much time do we have?
5 minutes. So we have about three minutes.
I mentioned about how I'm meeting these warriors and they're resonating as these archangels and all of that. So I'm going to tell you, on YouTube, look at, if you search Alan Pratt Healing,
okay.
There's one that we just posted that's not on my website, but if you search Alan Pratt Healing, scroll down. There's maybe 6 or 8 videos. One just said, the most recently posted says, Brooklyn Raga Association with the Archangels. It's about 6 minutes long. It was just from a month ago. It was in the end of June. We were in Brooklyn, in McCarran Park in Williamsburg, Hipsterville, land of artists, and we did this healing, and maybe 8 or 10 healers showed up and 12 musicians, the Brooklyn Raga Association. I'd like you to watch that video if you're listening to this show, because you will see other people who have been coming to my workshop. They have begun, these are people who were not channeling, and in the space of a handful of workshops, suddenly are channeling, and they are getting, not me, but they are getting, and me, rather, that they are resonating as these archangels, Michael, Ariel, Uriel, and this is what I say, this is not all in Alan's head anymore. There's a lot of people coming together now, and this is happening here at this festival, at the Mystic Garden Gathering, where I am right now in Oregon. I'm walking into one after another,
Some of them I've never met before. Some of them I met at Burning Man last year or the year before or in New York or in Costa Rica. And it's this tribe coming together that resonates as this family of light and as these beings that go way back to the beginning, like you and me, Goldie, you know, of this is old family. Watch that video and you'll see some of the people and see if you feel it watching the video. Watch these people channeling. It's just beautiful. So
okay,
that's
wait a minute.
No,
and you're coming.
Video.
You're coming to Finding Feathers
Speak
about that. So yes.
August 4th and the 11th. Contact Janet Mead, our dear friend Janet, who was on the last show with us. You can contact her at her email, growintuit, growintuit, at optonline.net. So it's grow into it, like the word intuition, but intuit, grow into it, at optonline.net. Or you can, if you didn't get all of that, contact me through my website and say I want to come. Because my events page on my website is not updated. I should have it updated soon, but I'm at Finding Feathers in Fairfield, Connecticut on Saturdays, August 4th and 11th. But please also stay tuned either to Goldie or to me, because Goldie and I want to make something happen at Hawk Point. That's
Hawk Rock. It's actually, it's a free event, and you guys all know about me and my chambers. August 6th with a rain date of August 7th, which is a Saturday and Sunday. We are going to Hawk Rock. Me and Alan are going, period. Even if it rains, Alan, we're going. But anybody in the Connecticut, New York area, or if you're going to be in town for that time, you can even email me for the Hawk Rock experience. We're going to basically go to the chambers, and then we're going to do some ceremony, group ceremony at Hawk Rock. The energy there is amazing. And then bringing, you know, Alan's frequency in that, I think is really going to make it just a fabulous event. And it's free. You're going to buy your own lunch. You know, you have a backpack. It's going to be amazing. Anybody interested, definitely connect
with either of us, and we'll get you the rest of that information. So August 4 and 11 at Finding Feathers in Connecticut, Thursday evenings, those two Thursday evenings in a row. Friday evening, August 5th, I may be in Milford. It looks like we're putting something together at a yoga studio there. I don't have the name of that on hand right now, but that's for our friend Meredith, who part of the tribe, and then
awesome.
Hawk Rock. So all of those, where there may be like four different things happening around that in Connecticut in the space of those couple of weeks while I'm in the area. And then I'm back in California, and then I'm off to Burning Man. So come play with me while I'm in Connecticut. I love you, and
I will
want to activate
definitely
you.
Play with you. I love you, Alan. Thank you so much for
your
presence, your energy, and your wisdom. Truly, I adore our time together all the time. I adore it.
You too, darling. It goes both ways. You're awesome.
All right.
Love you.
Thank you. All right. Have an amazing night, everybody. Next week is I haven't booked for anybody for next week. Somebody will be here. Or I'll be here. All right. I love everybody. Take care. Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.